look at the last few verses as we come to the end of Paul's letter. Paul has been encouraging the church, the Christians at Thessalonica, as they are young in the faith, but yet they have committed to the Lord, but they are under, have been under tremendous persecution. And there's also been the whole area of false teaching, and Satan is very busy. He desires to discourage God's people. He desires them not to believe the truth. He desires to, for them to become confused about how they should live and act so that they aren't the witnesses and testimony that they should be. The last portion of this letter is really a portion that the Apostle Paul is going to write to really chastise some of the people at Thessalonica who didn't listen to what he was saying and misinterpreted it and really fell into some false teaching. And that was dealing with the second coming of the Lord. And Paul is going to deal with that beginning at verse 6 through the end of the chapter. So let's just pick it up at verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this is the command, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by his by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, as we come before you this afternoon, help us to understand these truths and help us to understand that any of us could fall into not living our lives in a manner which we should, and that we should all seek to help one another as believers if we do so stray. And Lord, now I pray that you would just be with us and speak to us through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the text that we read this afternoon, you see that the Apostle Paul is he is coming with some fairly strong language to the people at the church because there is a problem in the church at Thessalonica. And the problem is that some of the people have taken him literally in the sense that they're looking for the Lord to return tomorrow. And so they feel, why, if the Lord's going to return tomorrow, why do we need to work today? And within the church at Thessalonica, there were probably, as we saw when we looked at the book of Acts, there were some fairly wealthy people in that church. And as the scriptures exhort believers to, if they see a brother in need to, and you have the means by which to help the brother, you should help the brother. Well, those that were taking Paul, taking him beyond what he said in his word and not wanting to work, also saw that there were Christians that had means, and so they would really take advantage of the situation and go to them and ask them to meet their needs. We need food, we need this, but they didn't want to work. And so Paul's going to address this whole issue. First of all, let's take a look at the first issue, and that is, simply because we're anxiously awaiting the Lord's return, Does that mean we all go buy a little shack in the mountains of Montana and go away from everybody and wait for it to happen? No, that's not what Paul said. As a matter of fact, we read this morning, Paul exhorted the people that they would continue to pray for him, that he would have greater opportunity to share the gospel, and that he would be able to go forth and accomplish what God had called him to do. And we all know that as Christians, we've all been called to actively share the gospel. We've been called to be examples to a lost and dying world. Jesus himself said we are to be salt and light in the midst of darkness and in the midst of a world that is corrupted and decaying away. And so that you and I need to live and be an example to the world of the love of Christ, but not only the love of Christ, the character of Christ. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, set forth an example for us on how we are to live, and he was always looking to meet the needs of others and not looking for others to meet his needs. So that's the first thing that we need to look at, is what should our attitude be? Our attitude should be one that we continue to seek to do the will of God and fulfill all areas of our life, and as Paul says elsewhere, that our whole lifestyle, or our whole, as he uses the term there, conversation, meaning our lifestyle, attitudes, actions, and words, reflect to bring glory to God. It doesn't bring glory to God to become a lazy bum and sponging off of everybody who's got something and expecting them to take care of us. Paul says in here, that's not what I did. As a matter of fact, he makes an interesting point. He being an apostle, other places, the word tells us, and Paul says himself, I believe it's Colossians, that he's talking about the fact that the ox isn't to be muzzled, but rather it should be paid for what it's doing. So Paul says, we have the right and we have the power to ask that you would support us, because we're on missionary journeys, we're going out preaching the gospel, and it takes away from our time to actually go out and work, to support, to meet our needs for clothing and food and everything. But we're not asking that of you. Why? Because we want to be an example to you of how we are to live as Christians. We are not to expect others to take care of us, but rather we should be there doing God's will. And Paul says that's what we did. We didn't expect you to take care of us, and we didn't have anybody here that can claim that we came here and demanded that you feed us and you clothe us, but rather we went out and worked while we were amongst you. That was the way that Paul did his missionary work, and that's the way he took the gospel to the various communities. It also gave him an opportunity and another means of reaching people for the gospel. We know this from the book of Acts, where it says that Paul was a tent maker, and he did go and was making tents and had the opportunity with Priscilla and Aquila, who were also tent makers, to share the gospel with them and help them in their understanding of the gospel and begin to build a church even while he was making tents. And so we see that Paul used every avenue and opportunity to proclaim God's truth, but never took advantage of anyone nor sought for anyone to meet his needs, even though he could have asked for it to happen. So what does he call these people, and what does he chastise them for? Well, he says let's take a look at verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And so he was saying, this is the rule, that if you have the ability to work, you need to work to make your food. Now, Paul understands, just as Jesus did, that there were people that had physical needs that could not take care of themselves, and those people needed to have help. But Paul is saying, if you've got the ability to work, you work and feed yourself. He says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." Now, what does disorderly mean? Well, disorderly means here that that's not according to the commands of God. One can think of an army and a troop. For example, we have a young man from our fellowship who's currently at boot camp right now. One of the things they teach you at boot camp is that you need to obey the rules and you need to keep your life in order. That you can't be disorderly. You can't go about doing your own thing the way that you want to do it, but rather you need to adhere to the rules that they're laid out. For example, if you go to boot camp, you will have to learn how to shine shoes even though you thought you knew how to shine shoes. You will have to learn how to iron your uniform even though you thought you knew how to iron your clothes. You will have to learn how to make a bed even though you thought you knew how to make a bed. Why? Because there are certain things that they require and they demand of it, and you have to meet those requirements. Well, God has requirements that He demands of us, and He demands that we walk in obedience to those commands, and that, as I said earlier in the message, we reflect His character. These people were not reflecting the character of God, nor were they walking in obedience to the commands, even as Paul had laid out to them when they were there. Remember, one of the things he taught them, if you're not going to work, you're not going to eat. Don't go begging people for things to meet your needs when you're fully capable of doing it yourself. This is how these people were disorderly. Well, guess what? If you're not about doing the Lord's work and you're not out working in a physical job to meet your physical needs, guess what you've got on your hands? A lot of time. And having a lot of time on your hands can create some problems. Paul calls them here a busybody. They have reported that there are busybodies around amongst you. What's a busybody? Well, a busybody is somebody who goes about looking at other people's lives and determining in their mind what are wrong with all those other people's lives while never examining their own life. Jesus, for example, talked about a very similar situation in that he gave the example of this type of an attitude with the person that would go running around claiming there are specks in everybody's eyes and that these people can't see right because of the specks in their eyes, while they had a mote in their eye. Now, Jesus used exaggeration as a means of getting across the point. You're not going to see somebody walking around with a giant beam hanging out of their eye. But what Jesus was saying is that oftentimes when we develop an attitude where we are concerned about finding the problems and faults with everybody else without examining ourselves first, it creates a real issue. If you can imagine, how would you even see a speck in anybody's eye if you had a giant beam hanging out of your eye? You wouldn't. And these people didn't, but they claimed to see it. Well, that's a busybody's attitude. Going about creating all kinds of problems, agitating things, stirring things up, saying, did you know that so-and-so did such-and-such? And not really caring that they would correct an action, but rather just desiring to tell everybody about everything. Part of that is generated, as I mentioned, because you're not doing God's work and you're not doing physical work, so you're out doing Satan's work instead. And Paul says it's got to stop. If there's people that are doing that, what it is it's destructive to the fellowship. Now, I knew a man a number of years ago that did that very thing. You sit there and you think, how does he have time to earn a living? Because he's always running around to where everybody else is working and where everybody else has got jobs doing and talking to them about everything. But he's never out working himself. And that I always wondered that. Well, then it came up where he began to say, well, did you see this in this person? Did you see this in this person? Did you know I can look into people's eyes and know when they're sinning and those types of things? Well, that is creating, what does it do? It's very destructive to the body, and it's not helpful to individuals, but it's really being a busybody. And that's what these people were doing. Well, what does Paul say you need to do? Well, Paul says if someone is walking in sin, and this is dealt with in Matthew's gospel as well, you just don't let them continue to do that. Why? Because we care for them. And Paul says, I care for these people. I taught them. They say that they accepted the Lord under my ministry. They say they became Christians under my ministry. They received the gospel from me. But now what they've done is they ignored my teaching of what it means to be a Christian. And they've gone about adapting their own doctrines. One being, we're just going to sit around and wait for Jesus to come, and while we're doing it, we're going to be gossips and busybodies going around creating problems within the body. So what does Paul tell them to do? Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, this isn't me. This is Jesus who's telling you to do this. Jesus is always telling us if we really love someone, you're going to bring and point out their error, not because you want to point out their error, but because you want them to be able to correct that which is wrong in their life, that they may be drawn back into a proper fellowship with the Lord and with the body of Christ. So he says, we exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, and with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So he's saying, this is what we tell you that they need to do. They need to get to work. And they need to be quiet about it. They need to just look at their work and make money for their own bread and not be concerned about everybody else and expecting everybody else to take care of them. And so he's saying, this is the thing, this is what I'm commanding you to do, and the Lord tells you to do this. I'm telling you this in the power of God by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his authority. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And so, in other words, don't give up. Don't give up. If people don't want to listen to you the first time you go and you see that there's a real issue that's creating problems in their lives and in the lives of others, and they're a fellow brother in the Christ, don't be weary in well-doing, because well-doing is being concerned about that individual and being concerned about their spiritual well-being. Being concerned about their understanding of the gospel and that it's properly being interpreted and it's properly being lived in their life. Jesus was constantly concerned about his disciples. He was concerned about their lives and what they were going to do. So much so that when he saw them err, he corrected them. When James and John wanted to be at the right and the left hand of Jesus and their mother was pressing for them to do it, Jesus didn't say, oh, that's a nice thing, attitude to have. No, he corrected them. He said, it's not mine to give and you shouldn't be asking because you don't even know what you're asking for. You don't understand what that position means. And then later on, upper room, he corrected them again, putting on the towel and showing them what true leadership was. He corrected Peter told Peter that he would deny him. And then when Peter denied him, he just didn't let them sit there. But he also commanded him, now that you understand, listen.